When she came downstairs, in the long cream-colored tunic over soft, loose brown slacks, her father and stepmother were waiting. Her stepmother, born elegant, gave an approving nod, which for some reason made Esme furious. No doubt she had chosen that tunic, had put it in Esme's closet. For a moment, Esme thought of ripping it off and throwing it, but RSS officers did not behave like that, and her half-brothers were watching, and others coming into the hall. She smiled at her stepmother and shook the offered hand.
Welcome home, Esmea. I hope you will like dinner.
Of course she will.
Dinner was in the informal dining hall, its wide windows opening on a tiled courtyard with a pool and fountain. She started toward her old place out of habit, but someone sat there already, a cousin, no doubt, and her father was leading her up the table to sit at Papa Stefan's left hand. Great-grandmother was not at the table. She would be waiting to receive Esme afterwards, in her own parlor.
Here she is, at last.
Papa Stefan had aged. He was thinner, the skin looser over his bones. But his eyes were still sharp. His mouth, even as he smiled at her, still firm.
Your father tells me you remember the proper offering for return. Do you also remember the proper blessing of food?
Esme blinked. Once away from Altiplano, she had shed all concern about clean and unclean foods, blessings and cursings, as happily as she'd shed the traditional undergarments considered appropriate for a virtuous daughter. She had not expected this honor. As much test as honor, as everyone knew. Ordinarily, only sons and sons of sons asked blessings on the food at dinner. Daughters and daughters of daughters asked the morning grace at the breaking of the night's fast. And at the noon meal, everyone held silence. She looked down the table to see what was on the great platters. It made a difference. And was even more surprised to see the five platters that meant a whole calf had been butchered in her honor. She had never heard of a woman speaking at such a time, but she knew the words.
Back from the waist.
She continued through the hole, stumbling only momentarily over the nested clauses where the prayer expected a male speaker, and she had either to speak of herself in the masculine or change the words.
From father to son it came to me, and so I send it on.
Esme had not thought about her own culture in any detailed way after the first year or so in the Fleet Prep schools. She had not noticed how confining the language really was. Fleet had shocked her at first, with its assumption of easy relationships between the sexes, with sir used for both men and women. In Fleet, the important terms for parents distinguished between gene parents and life parents, not between mothers and fathers. On Altiplano, they had no word for parents, and while they knew of modern methods of reproduction, very few would ever use them. She finished the blessing, still thinking of the differences. Esme glanced at Papa Stefan. His eyes twinkled.
You didn't forget. You always had a good memory, Esmea.
He nodded. The servants stepped forward. The great platters were shifted to the sideboards for carving, while bowls of soup were offered. Fleet food had been good enough, but this was the food of her childhood. The thick blue bowl with the creamy corn soup, garnished with green and red. Esme's stomach rumbled at the familiar aroma. The spoon she lifted had her family's crest on it. It fit her fingers as if it had grown there. The first salad followed the corn soup, and by then the meat had been sliced and layered on blue platters swirled with white. Esme accepted three slices, a mound of the little yellow potatoes that were a family specialty, a scoopful of carrots. It was worth the long wait to have food like this. Right now, all she wanted was the food she had not let herself realize she missed. Puffy rolls that could have floated up into the sky as clouds, butter molded into the shapes of heraldic beasts. She remembered those molds, hanging in a row in the kitchen. She remembered the rolls, too. No use letting them get cold when they were dry and tasteless. They deserved to be soaked in new butter or drenched in honey. When she came up for air, no one seemed to be paying attention to her anyway. They had finished eating. Servants were taking their plates away.
It's a matter of pride. Esmea would not fail in anything that touched the family honor.
Esme blinked. Papa Stefan's notion of family honor had wildernesses no one had ever explored fully. She hoped he wasn't hatching up one of his plots, with her assigned the role of heroine. Her cousin, Lucy, the age Esme had been when she left, looked much as Esme remembered herself. Tall, gangling, soft brown hair pulled back severely, with escaping wisps that ruined the intended effect. Clothes that were obviously intended for a special occasion, but looked rumpled and dowdy instead. Lucy looked up, met Esme's eyes, and flushed. That made her look sulky as well as unkempt.
Hello, Lucy.
Esme had already greeted Papa Stefan and the elders. The cousins were far down the list of obligatory greetings. She wanted to say something helpful, but after 10 years, she had no idea what Lucy's enthusiasms were, and a very clear memory of how embarrassing it was when elders assumed you still liked the dolls you'd played with at 5 or 7. Papa Stefan grinned at her and patted Lucy's arm.
Esmea, you will not know that Lucy is the best polo player in her class.
Oh, I am not that good.
You probably are. I'm sure you're better than I am.
Esme had never seen the point of milling about chasing a ball on horseback. A horse was mobility, a way to get off by herself into places vehicles couldn't go, faster than anyone could follow on foot.
Are you playing on the school team or the family team?
Both. We are looking for championships this year.
If we are lucky. And speaking of that, I want to ask about that mare Olin showed me.
Oh, ask Esme. Her father bought a string for her to put out on the grant, and that mare was one of them.
A flash of anger from Lucy's eyes. Esme was startled, both by the gift of horses and her cousin's unexpected reaction.
I didn't know about that. He hadn't mentioned anything. If there's one you wanted in particular, Lucy, I'm sure.
Lucy stood up.
Never mind. I wouldn't want to deprive the returning hero of her loot.
Lucy!
Papa Stefan glared, but Lucy was already out the door. She didn't reappear that evening. No one commented, but they were already drifting from the table. Esme remembered from her own adolescence that such a thing would not be spoken of in company. She did not envy Lucy the rough side of Sonny's tongue that would no doubt work her over in private very shortly.